I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians tonight, to Ephesians chapter 4, where our scripture reading will begin. We'll be reading in Ephesians 4 at the end and into chapter 5 all the way to verse 21. Our focus tonight is going to be on the second half of verse 18, Ephesians 5 and verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit. We know in Romans chapter 11 that God is the one who gets all of the glory, for all things are of Him and through Him and to Him, to whom belongs all the glory forever and ever. And we might wonder, how is it that God gets to Himself all the glory? Well, He gets to Himself all the glory in two principal acts in history. The first is in the giving of His Son, the sending of His Son for the salvation of His people, for the salvation of you. The second act in which God gets to Himself all the glory is in the pouring out of His Holy Spirit, that we might know His Son and we might come to know the love of God in Jesus Christ. And so give your attention to the reading of God's holy word. We begin in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 30. This is God's word. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore He says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This is God's word. Dear people of God, you can perhaps track with me for a moment in terms of sounds. Sounds which you might at one time or another have been very familiar with. A sound which sounds something like this: cough, sputter, hiccup, silence. Now, children, as you hear those words or those sounds, what comes to your mind? Cough, sputter, hiccup, silence. So I'm not quite sure, Pastor, what you're getting at. I'm not quite sure exactly what noises you are referring to. Well, I'm referring to that feeling in which there is emptiness in the pit of the stomach When you're driving down the road and suddenly cough, sputter, hiccup, silence. I thought I could make it to the gas station. Didn't make it. Now, I find that there are generally two types of people when it comes to filling the tank with gas. There are those type of people who always make sure that there is always a quarter tank of gas or more in their car. I don't like those kind of people. No, they're nice. And then there's another category of people. There are those who try to see just how many miles they can get out of that tank of gas, just how close to empty they can run the car before filling up the tank again. Which one are you? Are you one who's always got a quarter tank in the gas tank? Or are you one who likes to see just how far you can actually get? Well, it is quite an experience to run out of gas. In fact, you can come into my garage and you can find that there are four gas cans. Now, why would a man have four gas cans in his garage? Only because he had to purchase them under duress in order to get gas to bring to his car, which was out of gas. Yes, we're familiar with running out of gas or running on empty. But as we come to God's Word tonight, we come to a very important passage in verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 5. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or recklessness, but be filled with the Spirit. God does not want you as His blood-bought people to run on empty. God does not want you, as it were, to see just how low the tank can get, in a metaphorical sense, when it comes to following the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather, tonight, the Lord calls you, His people, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is God's call to you in this passage tonight. It's very clear. It's very straightforward. The Lord calls you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, if you are going to do so, you must, first of all, understand the nature of the Lord's call. Secondly, you must understand, or you must grasp, the content of this call. And finally, you must heed the call from God unto you tonight. And so the Lord calls you, His people, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, first of all, you must understand the nature of the call which the Lord gives to you and to me in verse 18. But be filled with the Spirit. There are four truths which perhaps we could easily wrap our minds around with regard to the nature of the call from the Lord in this verse. First of all, we need to see that this call to be filled with the Spirit is a call which is given to the Christian. This is a call which is given to the Christian, not to the non-Christian. We know that this is the case even from the way in which the book of Ephesians begins in chapter 1, where we read Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to whom? To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. This verse in chapter 5 and verse 18 is addressed to Christians, to those who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because Christ has apprehended them by His amazing grace. We read in other portions of Ephesians, for example, in chapter 2 and verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We read in chapter 5 in verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. And here we understand then that this call from the Lord to be filled with the Holy Spirit is a call which is given to the Christian. Secondly, This call to you to be filled with the Spirit is not a mere suggestion. It's not just good advice. It's not just a friendly counsel. It's a command. It's a command which is given to the Christian, to the people of God, to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important for you and me to see this. In fact, we see it very clearly even in the connection back to verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You see, Jesus isn't just our Savior, He is our Lord. And His will is not a suggestion for us, it is a command. A command to the people of God who have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so this is the nature of the call which God gives to you tonight. It's a call given to the Christian, not the non-Christian. It's a command, not a suggestion. But there's a third truth here. It is a passive command. Now, I know you didn't come here tonight to get a grammar lesson. And yet, we do need to understand grammar if we're to understand the Word of God. Because God has spoken to us in language. Language which we can understand. He has stooped down to us as His dear children. And He speaks to us in language which we can understand. Praise be His name. But this command which comes to the Christian is a passive command. Be filled with the Spirit. Note it does not say, fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. It's rather, be filled with the Spirit. Allow yourself to be filled with the Spirit. Only God can fill you with the Holy Spirit. And so this is a passive command. But there's a fourth truth here as we seek to unwrap the nature of the Lord's call to you tonight to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a present passive command to the Christian. A present passive command. What does that mean? Well, what that means is this, that it is a command for you as a follower of Jesus, which is in force at all times and in all places. It's a command for you as a follower of Jesus Christ, which is to be carried out continually, consciously, and conscientiously. It's not something which you do once and then never think about again. It's a present passive command. One author and commentator has said this, the present aspect of the command indicates that we cannot rely on a past filling of the Spirit, nor can we live in expectation of a future filling of the Spirit. We can only live and move and act on the basis of a present filling of the Spirit. Maybe you can think about it in terms of a marriage. Children, you see your parents, they're married to one another, father and mother, as husband and wife, married, right? Now, a good marriage, children, when you look at a marriage which is vibrant and vital, it's not based upon past love and devotion. Neither is it based upon the prospect and hope of some sort of future love and devotion, but a vibrant, vital, God-honoring marriage is based upon present tense love and devotion, isn't it? I can't say to my wife, well, I told you when we got married that I loved you, right? Or she can't say to me, well, you know, on March 22nd, I'll tell you that I love you, but not until then, right? Doesn't work that way. That marriage has some problems to it, doesn't it? Right. Well, in the same way, the Lord calls you, His people, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. A call given to you as Christians. A call which is a command, not a suggestion. A call which is a passive command, recognizing that you must allow the Lord to fill you with His Spirit. And a present passive command, which means that it is for the now, for this moment, and then when I get to the next moment, for that moment too. And so the Lord calls you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. These four truths, I hope, help to unpack the nature of God's call to you. So, having got that, having hammered a few pegs into the wall, let's move to the second point. That as the Lord calls you to be filled with His Spirit, you're not only to understand the nature of His call, you're to grasp the content of His call. What does it mean? What does it mean? We've seen the nature of the call, but what is the content of the call here when God says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is recklessness, but be filled with the Spirit"? Well, quite simply, the content, the meaning of the call to be filled with the Holy Spirit means that you are to be under the influence and control of God the Holy Spirit. You are to be under the influence and control of God the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, in terms of the contrast which is established, sets this forth very clearly. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is recklessness. That is, don't be filled with wine and under its influence and control, whereby you are out of control. But rather, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be under the influence of drunkenness or drugs. Don't be under the influence of lustfulness or covetousness or greediness. Don't be under the influence of the remaining sin which dwells within you, but rather get pulled over by the cop as you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Right? Don't get pulled over for being under the influence of Budweiser. Get pulled over because you're under the influence of God the Holy Spirit. And then one will ask, what is up with you? What's going on in your life? What is this hope which I see in the midst of a world which is very dark, which has much despair, which has many disappointments, which is filled with trouble, in which it seems hopeless? Be filled with the Spirit. And so then, if we're to understand God's call to us, God is telling to you and me not to be filled up with more of the Holy Spirit, but rather to be under His control. God doesn't say here, be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, because every blood-bought, born-again follower of Jesus is already indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He's saying, be filled in such a way that you are under His direction and control. Perhaps two pictures would help to illustrate this. This word, be filled, or to fill, it was often used for the filling of a sail. Again, children, you can think of a sailboat, right? You can think of that sailboat out on Alum Creek or Hoover Reservoir. And that sailboat, right, if it's going to move anywhere, if it's going to go in the direction that you want it to go, what needs to happen to the sail? It needs to be filled. With what? Filled with the wind. The wind needs to fill out that sail so that it can move under its influence in the right direction. Or maybe think of another picture which could help. I didn't bring it with me, but I have a set of gloves or a pair of gloves. Maybe you have a pair of gloves too. You can imagine a glove which perhaps sits right here. And that glove is empty. But what happens when it's filled with a hand? It gets active, right? That glove won't do anything until it is filled with a hand to actually direct it and control it and to move it and to accomplish tasks with it. That's the picture here of be filled with the Spirit. Be under the control and influence of God the Holy Spirit. Now we might ask, what does that look like? What does that look like? Well, we could perhaps understand it in terms of a contrast, right? Contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. After all, we're talking about being filled with the Spirit, underneath of His control and influence. And so, rather than being controlled by lust, which can never be satisfied, as the Spirit controls you, love is born and bears fruit which other people can pick off of your life. For you are a tree of righteousness, according to Psalm 92. Other people can pick the fruit of love off of you and can taste and see the deliciousness of the work of the Holy Spirit. Passing pleasures of sin are replaced with the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Peace with God and peace with one another. For the Holy Spirit, when His hand is in the glove, right, is controlling and is influencing in such a way that love and peace and joy are seen. That instead of lashing out, long-suffering is evident. Instead of crabbiness, there's kindness. Instead of grabbing and greediness, there's goodness and generosity. Instead of fickleness and faithlessness, there's faithfulness in all of your relationships. Instead of my way or the highway, there is God's way, self-control. And so this is what it looks like, right? When we heed the call, or at least grasp the content of the call, to be filled with the Spirit, to be underneath of His control and His influence. This is what it looks like. Now we might look around here tonight and say, well, is there one who truly exemplifies this, being filled by the Spirit and under His control and by God's grace? There are many here who are indeed walking in the Spirit under His control and His influence. But no one here is really the exemplar, is really the pattern. Where do we see? Where do we see in human nature? One under the control of the Holy Spirit. Well, then the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? It is in Him that we see perfectly what it looks like to be filled without measure by the Spirit. To be one who is under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit, such that even when the Holy Spirit drives the Lord Jesus Christ immediately after His baptism into the desert in order to be tempted of the devil, we see the God-man having an attitude which sounds like this at the very beginning of His earthly ministry. Not my will, but Your will be done. And how thankful we are that there is one whom we can look to see and to behold what it means to be filled with the Spirit perfectly, without deviation. Because as we look at one another, though we can praise God for His work in the life of each one of the saints here tonight, yet at the end of the day, we finally are utterly disappointed and dismayed even, because we recognize that we are not ones who are consistently under the control of the Holy Spirit. Even those who have made the most progress in the Christian life and in following the Lord Jesus Christ, as Christ has poured out His Spirit to indwell you, even as you perhaps have made great strides in turning from sin and following after righteousness, at the end of the day, you look in the mirror, and there's a lot of disappointment. And that disappointment can either turn to despair. Why even try? Or it can be used by the Spirit to drive you to see your need again of Jesus. For Christ didn't come just to die for your sins. He came to fulfill all righteousness for you, that you might be a partaker of His Spirit, and that you might be sealed by the Spirit with the guarantee of an eternal inheritance, and that you might know the absolute certainty of the day which is coming, the day of resurrection, in which no more will you be hindered by sin, but you will love Him as He loves you, all because of His grace. And so God tonight calls you to be filled with the Spirit. He says to you that you are to understand the nature of His call. You are to grasp the content of His call. You see, to be filled with the Spirit of Christ means that the Spirit of Christ is leading you to Christ, to learn of Christ, to know the love of Christ, and to be one who has the Holy Spirit Himself bring the life of Christ into your life. For I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. Christ, how? By the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But we need to go to a last point tonight. As we hear God's call, be filled with the Spirit. Yes, understand the nature of the call, grasp the content of the call, but finally, you as followers of Jesus need to heed this call from God unto you. You need to heed this call from God unto you. Now, if you're going to heed, to listen, and to put into practice this call from God unto you, there is an important requirement. We've already mentioned it, but I think it needs to be restated. There is no way that you can heed this call to be filled by the Spirit unless you are already indwelt by the Spirit. And so this important prerequisite, this important requirement is that only those who have the Spirit can heed this call to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Only those who are trusting in Christ for full forgiveness of their sins and full acceptance by God because of Christ have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. And before then, you can heed the command of the call of God in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. You must make sure you have closed with Christ. That when pushed into a corner, and push comes to shove, and you've got nowhere else to go, you look into your hands, you look at what you've done, you look at who you are, and you realize, my only hope, my only confidence in life and in death, is that I'm not my own, but that I belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who loved me, who gave Himself for me. You see, that needs to be settled. Because otherwise you're going to go out of here and you're just going to be frustrated. And you're going to look in the mirror. And you're not going to like what you see. And you're going to say, that Christianity thing, it's a bunch of bunk. It's a bunch of do-goodism. Ah. But to have closed with Christ, to have Christ close with you, and to indeed pour out the Spirit into your heart personally, and to know the love of God in Jesus Christ, to me, a sinner, how can it be? Now we can start talking about Ephesians 5 and verse 18. But only then. Only then. Now, lest we think that perhaps God is not interested in giving us His Son and pouring His Spirit into our hearts, I remind you of the words of the Lord Jesus when He says this, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God is not stingy. I remind you of the words of the Lord Jesus when He says, "I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone?" Let's hope not. "Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then..." Listen to what Jesus says here, because this is so imperative that you understand the heart of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" What does James say? "You have not because you ask not." And to be one who asks means that the Spirit is already at work. For it's not you who initiates. It's the word of the gospel used by the Spirit which indeed draws you to ask. And so, if you're going to heed the call from God unto you to be filled with the Spirit, to be under the control and influence of the Holy Spirit in your life consciously and consistently, you need first to be indwelt by the Spirit. You need to be united to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be His, and He needs to be yours. And God is not, as it were, one who is turning His back tonight from you and saying, "Don't even ask." He says, "Come. For I have sent my Son, and I have poured out my Spirit. A Spirit of grace and supplication, that you might look upon me whom you have pierced, and you might see that it is your sins who arraigned me before Pontius Pilate. It is your transgressions which nailed me to the tree. Oh, but this day, as the prophet Zechariah tells us, a fountain is open for cleansing. For all those who look to Him whom they have pierced." And so if you've got that settled, now we can talk about Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Now we can talk about heeding the call to be filled with the Spirit, to be under His control and His influence. And so this principally means two things. You need to remove every obstacle which would get in the way of the Holy Spirit controlling you and influencing you. We could speak about all the works of the flesh again tonight as some of those hindrances and obstacles which get in the way of the Holy Spirit having control and influence over your day to day, hour to hour, moment by moment existence in following Jesus. But I think at the end of the day, it boils down to one thing, which really is the obstacle. What is it? It's self-will. It's self-will which grieves the Spirit. Our reading tonight, we began in Ephesians 4 and verse 30. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." What is it that grieves the Spirit? We could preach a whole other sermon on this. But is it not self-will? which says, not your will, but my will be done. And is it not a temptation which is ever crouching at the door of your heart? Self-will. Self-will must be relinquished. Self-will must be given up. Self-will must be renounced. And maybe it takes just a simple, specific, straightforward step for you tonight. It sounds like this. Oh Lord, today I see the hindrance to being controlled by you. And this hindrance is me. And today, Lord, my knees hit the ground and I renounce and I reject my self-will. I turn from my way and my desires unto you and to your way and to your desires. And I cry out by the Spirit who cries out in me, Abba, Father, hear my prayer. And maybe sometimes we get so hung up on some of the details and some of the dotting of I's and crossing of T's that we don't make it so straightforward, where it simply is a matter of, I need to get on my knees and renounce today my allegiance to me. And maybe you've walked with the Lord for 17 years or 27 years or 7 months. But the first step of heeding the call of God tonight for you to be filled with His Spirit, to be under His control and His influence, is a renunciation of self. Self-will. And so you need to remove every obstacle for the Spirit filling you with His control. But you need to make use of every means. That's the positive aspect. If there's a negative putting off, there's a positive putting on here. There is a making use of the means which God has promised to tie His Spirit to, which the Holy Spirit Himself is pleased to connect Himself to. That if we want more and more of the influence and control of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we heed this call to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to see with the eyes which the Spirit of Christ has already opened in our heads and the hearts which He has renewed, we need to see where He has promised to be found in His influence and in His control over our lives. And where is that? If it's only God who can fill you, if this is a passive command, as we already mentioned, be filled by God with the Spirit, we need to meet God where He is to be found. And where is He found? Well, He's promised that the Spirit's influence and control is to be found in the Spirit's inspired Word. That Word of God, as it is read, as it is listened to, as it is received, as it is hidden in our hearts, and as it is practiced in our lives. That Word, the Holy Spirit has promised to work through. The very Word which He has inspired, He has promised to attend as we come, as ones who have been regenerated and have made Christ our only hope. He promises to be found in the Word. And not just in the Word as it is read and as it is heard and as it is digested and meditated upon, but in the Word made visible in the sacraments, in the supper, which this morning many of you had the privilege to partake of. And note that the centrality of Christ, which the Spirit sets forth in the supper and in your baptism. There's a constant pointing unto Jesus. For that is the work of the Spirit. He will testify of me, Jesus says. And the Spirit is promised to be found in His Word as it is responded to in believing prayer. His Word as it is obeyed in community. His Word as it is held forth as a light to a dark world. We don't have time tonight, but verses 19, 20, and 21 actually flesh out what it means to be filled with the Spirit. What does it look like as the Spirit works through the Word in your life, connecting you to Jesus, bringing you to Jesus, bringing Jesus to you? What does that look like? Well, it looks like speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It looks like singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It looks like giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It looks like submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's what it looks like. And a separate sermon could be preached on each one of those verses in terms of here is the evidence of being under the control and influence of God, the Holy Spirit, as He draws you to Christ more and more and as He brings Christ to you more and more. And this is what it means to heed the call. As the blessed Holy Spirit, who has infinite love for you, guides you to Christ and brings Christ to you. John Owen, many years ago, wrote this: "The Holy Spirit is infinite love and kindness to me. He has wonderfully chosen to be my comforter. He does this work willingly, freely, and powerfully. What great things I have received from Him! How often He has comforted my soul. Can I live one day without Him? Shall I not care what He wants to do in me? Shall I grieve Him by my negligence, sin, and foolishness? Shall not His love constrain me to walk before Him in such a way as to bring Him great pleasure? For He has brought infinite pleasure to me in bringing me Jesus." Cough, sputter, hiccup, silence. Oh, may we not be characterized by ones running on empty. No. If Christ is yours and you are His, be filled with the Spirit. Moment by moment, depending upon Jesus, for that is the Spirit's work. That is His work through the Word. Amen. Pray together with me. Our Father in heaven, how often we find ourselves searching in the dumpsters of this world for the things which satisfy. When there is a feast, a beautiful, costly, delicious feast, which You have set on the family table for us, forgive us. Teach us even this night to be conscious and aware of Your Spirit dwelling in us, evermore reminding us of the promises of Jesus, evermore drawing us to Him, and evermore bringing Christ to us, that we might be under Christ's lordship and control, and that we might be those who walk in the Spirit, who are led by the Spirit, who rejoice in the Spirit, who pray in the Spirit, who worship in the Spirit. And so we pray that You would use the means of Your Word, that You, O Holy Spirit, would use Your inspired Word to work in our lives tonight, so that we would hear Your call. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.